Accession number 7482, room number 2.
Mr. Jeffrey, rear 2. Yes, would you please continue?
Yes. As we approached the Durban Arbour and steaming through the entrance to the Arbour, we were met by a lady, a Dutch lady, I believe, there in white, there, who met all the troop ships in and sang to us, which was an ex-opera singer, and the lads was very, very pleased about it. It seemed as though somebody was welcoming us in. We thoroughly enjoyed it. And she sang to us when we got alongside. Now, we were not allowed ashore. Nobody was allowed ashore. Only those that had to go ashore to do business for the ship. And having taken on the oil and supplies, eventually then we left the Durban Harbour and joined up with the convoy, which we steamed up the African coast, up the north side. Up the eastern side of the African coast, northwards towards the Red Sea. Passing Mombasa on the way. When we arrived off Mombasa, we took on some more oil fuel and re-oiled the escorts of the destroyers from our tanks. We also was recalled from the convoy after that, and we were told that we were going towards Singapore on another mission. So, Repulse sailed off towards Singapore, leaving the convoy with the escort of about 2 or 3 destroyers. After that, we never saw or heard anything more about the convoy. There was one thing that we did notice in the convoy, was a big Dutch liner, the New Amsterdam, which was all crowded with our troops going up for replacements for the 8th Army. They were going to the 8th Army to North Africa. And we waved goodbye to them, altered our course, and steamed off south northeast towards Singapore. After that, we was able to relax a little bit and sun ourselves on the forecastle of the Repulse, which we all enjoyed very much, until approaching Singapore, when we had to go to our action stations again.
But then, were you surprised to be told to go to Singapore?
Well, yes. When we set out with the convoy, all we were told that we was escorting the convoy up to a surface ship to protect the convoy from surface raiders like German battleships or anything like that. That was our duty. We were very surprised to hear that we were going to Singapore on another mission. There. Now, we sailed up. Where should I start? I would like to point out that although escorting the convoy, which we thought was very good, there we'd had heard now that we were going to intercept a Japanese invasion party coming down the east coast of Malaya. Now, this caused a lot of controversy particularly amongst the lower deck and the people that they knew. We knew that we were not fitted out to combat aircraft. We'd never come across this sort of thing before. We hadn't had a lot of training at firing at aircraft, because firing at targets is a bit different to firing at the actual thing. So we didn't know quite. We had mixed feelings to what was going to happen when we got up there. Now, the repulse there was undermanned as far as eye angle. The 15-inch guns there, which fired armor-piercing shells and didn't have any great fuse shells or anything, could not be used as against aircraft, so they were going to be no good there. We only had four-inch eye-angle guns. We had two mountains of eight-barrel pom-poms there, and also one of four-barrel pom-pom. A lot of several 0.5 machine guns, four in a mountain, which was more or less no good at all, really. We couldn't hit anything of any height. So we was rather mixed feeling that things was not going to turn out too well, especially if we got too near the Japanese, the Malayan coast, which we did. Now then, shall I?
You mentioned that you were surprised of you were surprised about being told to go to Singapore. Why were you surprised?
Well, we were surprised because we thought we were going to the escorting the convoy, but it appears we were sent up to make a show, but we wasn't fitted out to do so.
So now you were sailing towards Singapore.
Yes, we sailed on then to Singapore, and carrying on up through the Johor Strait to the naval dockyard, which is on the northeast side of the island. I think it is, isn't it? Yes. Mm. Yes. We tied up there and took on quite a fair amount of oil fuel. Can't tell you how much, but we carried an awful lot of oil fuel, as we found out later.
Can you remember the reception at Singapore upon your arrival?
Well, when we arrived...
So after your arriving in Singapore, what happened next?
We then left Singapore again, sailed from Singapore, heading towards Australia. But after a day at sea, we were turned back again by the orders from Winston Churchill to join up with the Prince of Wales to go up the eastern side of Malaya to take on a Japanese invasion force, which was supposed to be heading towards Singapore. Mm-hmm. Now, while we was at Singapore, this is the first we knew of the Japanese was actually declared war on us. And it was in the middle of the night, and it was in a beautiful moonlight night, and the alarm rattlers went on board the Repulse there. And my action station with the close range guns on the upper deck, so I dashed up there, and there I could hear the noise of droning of aircraft coming towards there, and I looked up in the sky, and then I could see a close formation, a large group of Japanese aircraft heading towards the ship, and over the top, I watched them sail over the top. We didn't open up fire, but all the guns ashore on the Singapore was all firing. They were firing with everything. They were firing Lewis guns there, and the trajectory and the tracer bullets was only going up about a third of the way and turning over and dropping down again. It was most amusing, really, to see the panic that was on ashore. Anyway, the Japanese sailed over Singapore, and they bombed the boom, the entrance to Singapore, not the naval base, the other side there, and then carried on. And that was the first we knew that we were then at war with Japan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went round shaking the people to get them to the action station, and under no certain manner was I told, get back into me, I'm it again. There. But it turned out it was a genuine alarm, and I actually saw the formation of aircraft pass over the top of us. Very high up there, but they didn't drop any bombs on our side. So it's obviously they knew that we were in, and the Prince of Wales was in Singapore, as we had been spotted. And I also was informed, that it was buzz about there, that we'd been sighted by a Japanese submarine as we left Singapore that the next morning to go up the coast of Malaya towards the Japanese fleet there, which was supposed to be, in my belief, I don't really think there was an invasion fleet coming down. We never saw anything or heard anything of it. All we started to sail up the coast, having been sighted by a Japanese submarine, so our position was being monitored all the way up until the general attack started. Anyway, we continued on during the morning, and everybody being at action stations, we'd been at action stations all through the night after we left Singapore dockyard late evening, during the evening, under the cover of darkness there, and turned north up the coast of Malaya. And we'd sailed up during the day, closed up at action station, and then at 11 o'clock in the morning, there all hell was let loose. The alarm went off, and as we had no radar on board, radar wasn't fully commissioned then, we had no radar on board, we only had to rely on what we saw. And I dashed up to my upper deck, on the upper deck to my action station, which was on the after end of the Repulse, from the rear half of the ship, I was responsible for keeping the guns going. Anyway, looking up into the sky, there I saw in the moonlight, and illuminated by the searchlight, there was a large formation of Japanese bombers there. Now, we, the Repulse and the Prince of Wales, there we separated, and the destroyers, which now we only had two left, there they moved out, and the Repulse was then attacked by all the everything, the Japanese, wave after wave of Japanese aircraft kept coming in over the top of us, maybe about somewhere around about 15 to 20,000 feet, I think, high level bombing for a start. There, one bomb or two bombs hit us on the half deck, just around where the aircraft, where the hangar was, that we kept our one plane. Our plane was flown off in a hurry, and he went back to Singapore, and then the attack started. Well, we opened up with everything that we had, which I must say was not very much, because most of our guns, the 4-inch, most of our guns would not elevate any more than 23 degrees. The 15-inch guns was no good at all. They were in the aircraft attack. We were not able to use. So we carried on then using our pom-poms and our 4-inch, our 4-4-inch guns. And the Prince of Wales was firing at them from a distance. Then the Japanese, the two bombs went on board, exploded on board and down on the mess decks. There, then things started to happen. Lights started to go out, and we had to go on to emergency lighting. Just exactly where they landed, I couldn't say, because my job was busy on the upper deck, keeping going what I could. Found it very, very hot as the day was there. It was round about noon there, and the humidity was very, very high. We were covered in sweat there, and all the guns by this time that we were using now was very, very hot and needed really cooling down. So consequently, everything we touched was red hot. The Japs continued to attack. I saw numerous aircraft shot down. On one occasion I saw seven. There we passed, we were still on the way, and we passed quite a few Japanese aircraft just floating on top of the water, with the Japs sitting on the wings, waiting to be rescued. The Japs then started coming in, flying alongside, and machine gunning us. I was fortunate. I started to help to pass the ammunition to one of the 4-inch guns. There, the Japs came along. They machine gunned this particular side of the ship, flying just above water level. And the chap next to me, he had a machine gun bullet go right through the centre of his leg there, and he fell down. And while I was bending down to see what I could do for him, there they machine gunned me, and my bullet went through my trouser leg and took a piece out of my trousers. Had I have had this bullet in my leg, I would have never have made it there. And that was my special bit of luck. Anyway, the attack continued till about 12:30. They're continuing all the time with waves and waves of aircraft coming in. No more bombs was dropped, but then again, the torpedo carrying aerial torpedo planes came in large, in groups, and circled all the way around us, dropping their torpedoes there, I watched at least 6 or 7 torpedoed. This was during the time when I only had a chance just to have a glimpse, because most of the pom-poms had already jammed up.
Right. I
mean, and the reason they jammed up was the heat had expanded the cases on the it's a 2-pounder shell complete with the cartridge case. The cases were expanding, leaving the shell inside the feed belt at the pom pom. The cartridge case was being pushed into the breech, fired. There, no recoil, because there was no shell to cause the gun to recoil. And so, consequently, the guns were jammed up. And I myself then said to the gun screw, "It's no good you staying up here. Leave it to me." And I carried on back aft on my own. They're trying to clear. I did clear 2 guns, and I was on the third there when the torpedoes hit us. There was a terrific water everywhere and that, and the ship juddered and nearly jumped out of the sea. And then I knew that we'd got a number of torpedoes, and then she started to list there. And during that period, there, I started with 1 or 2 more, like of people that had been wounded. We had those rubber 2 life belts, which we had to blow up after we'd entered the water. So whatever we saw, whoever we saw, the wounded we saw, we blew up and gradually got them ready for pushing over the side there. During this time there, then the ship started to sink, the stern going under first, and I looked over towards the quarter deck, and the quarter deck had already just disappeared below the waves, and the gun turrets was just being, X and Y turret was just being covered by the sea there. Just then an officer appeared, I think it was a lieutenant commander, shouting, "Abandon ship." Now, for some unknown reason, there, some of the Carly floats, there, we didn't seem to get anything much into the water to cling to. So what we had to do was, We blew up what casualties we saw, blew up the lifebelts, and just pushed them overboard there. And that's the last we saw of them, so they could float away from the ship. The ship was still on the move, but going around in circles. The Prince of Wales was somewhere way out in the distance. She was not, or just then, about to start to be attacked. It was the Prince of Wales turn. We had engaged the enemy for about an hour and a half there before we actually sank. And then we started to turn over there. I had to go slip in just inside for something there, which I shouldn't have done, but I did. And I came out, and by that time, I found myself walking with 1 foot on the bulkhead and 1 on the floor. We'd now got a list on to, I think it was to port. So I blew up my life belt. I didn't blow up my life belt till I got in the water. I then put my finger over my nose, knocked off my steel helmet, there, pulled off some of my anti-flash gear and dived in there. While I dived in to a sea of black oil fuel, as we had hundreds of thousands of tons of oil fuel on board, there, all this oil fuel out of the torpedo bowl, there, was all coming up and the ocean was just one mass of black, tarry-looking oil fuel. When I jumped in, I went down, or dived in, I went down a fair distance there. I just looked up there, and all I could see was a black cover over the top of me. I burst through the oil fuel there, and then laid on my back there, blew up my lifebelt, which I couldn't blow up by that time because my mouth was fairly full up of doing so, it wasn't fully blown up. I blew up my lifebelt and started to swim away from the ship as the ship was still moving, and to get clear of the propellers. The ship was moving slowly now and gradually rolling over. And I joined up with a group more of us all heading towards the horizon where we could see a destroyer in the distance. We were black with oil fuel there. Our eyes were burning there. We'd swallowed a certain amount of them because by now they were bombing the Prince of Wales. And every time the bomb, the concussion in the water of the bomb went off, we could feel the it was causing big waves, and also we could feel a certain amount of compression in the water. Anyway, they continued on. What happened to the Prince of Wales after that, I can't say that I saw much of it, because we did know that that two of our destroyers went alongside the Prince of Wales and took all their crew off, where we didn't have anybody come alongside and take any of our crew off. We lost a tremendous amount of men because most of them got trapped down below, and so they just couldn't get up, they couldn't get out. And a lot, some was being, I did see as the ship was gradually rolling over now, she was rolling over on the port side there, and still the propellers was turning a little bit, and anyway, she started to roll over, and I could now see the holes where the torpedoes had gone in there, and I could see men being blown out through these holes, and then some of them was being drawn back again. I was lucky. I got a good start there, and I was able to get clear of the ship doing the side stroke there, and then resting for a little, and then turning over to on my back and doing the backstroke and that sort of thing, and eventually I got away. But we got away, and one of the things that we did get away, and why we got away, is that we managed to we was determined we were going to make it, or at least I was there, and I was going to do my best, and we mustered some of the lads there. We all joined a little group like that,